I'm David Blake. Back to Tommy Tucker, WWL, AMFM, and .com.
And back to the phone lines we go. I wonder if anybody went to meet him last night when he came home. I'm sure somebody listening did.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to hear from you at 260-1870 to find out what kind of crowd they had, etc. Because when it comes to meeting a team after a road game, if they win, right, especially in that big of a game, does it matter whether you win 38-0 or whether you win 12-9?
Yep.
12-9. Yeah. That's what it was.
It's a victory.
Yeah. I guess if you bet the over, it matters.
Well, yeah. But
bet the under, it matters too, because you're feeling pretty good. But either way, you don't ever. What's the gambler's prayer? Lord, please let me break even. I need the money, right?
Yeah.
David. Hi, you're on WWL. Good morning. Hey, David. What do you say there, Davey?
How's it going?
Hey, good. What's up?
Hey, Tommy. Enjoy your show over here in Mississippi.
Well, thank you.
A couple of thoughts this morning. Listen, as we say in the South, for Anthony, just bless his heart, okay? That's all you got. That's all you can say to the guy. Bless his heart.
Yeah, because once you say that, you can say anything bad about anybody you want, right?
That's what it's supposed to be for, I guess.
That's a disclaimer.
Hey, listen, I got a thought on the Saints, though. Look, is it possible that Sean Payton is actually just holding his cards, not trying to throw the big, super plays down the field so early so they can study the stuff going into the final days of the stretch? I mean, is it possible that he's like probably the greatest chess playing, poker playing coach ever in the NFL?
I think he's one of the better, if not best, coach in the NFL in terms of whether he's a chess player, or I don't know anything about that, or whether he's holding his cards close to his vest, but I'll tell you who'll be able to tell us. And that's former Saints center Steve Court, who's going to join us in a couple of minutes. And I also want to get his take on Max Unger and the possibility of the starting center not playing, because I don't know if a lot of people understand or realize how important it is to have the center in there. And with that, we welcome in our friend Steve Court. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Tommy?
It's Christmas time. Saints are 12-2. They have one more game to lock up home field advantage. They have to win one more game. You're on the radio with me. How much better could it get, Steve Court?
Oh, hey, that's the penultimate, right?
It is. Yeah. So let me ask you this. I'm getting calls this morning. I'm getting texts from people. What's wrong with the offense? What's wrong with the Saints? What's wrong with Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Your response to that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Look, you've got...
Not even an SMH?
Look, you've got 15 weeks of tape, or more by this time, including the preseason games. And, defenses get good at this time of year because they've had so much of that. They know how to adjust. They know they're playing now at a higher level because of sort of how the season goes. They begin to sort of play better, and they begin to figure out offenses. That being said, you've got some attrition on our offensive line at this point, and especially with, you get some guys that nick, you've got Teron that's still out, and now Max, and, you've got Andrus that's not playing in his normal spot. It's just sort of a revolving door there. It always has been for the past couple of years. But, look, you got to take your hat off to Carolina. That they can still play defense. You look at what our defense is. We're number one against rushing, but they're number seven. I mean, it's not like they're, way down the line. This is a team that was 6-2 at one point, and they hit the skids because of some really, really lackluster play on their offense. But other than that, this team can still play defense. And, testament to that is like those two linebackers they have can flat get it.
That Kuechly is just in another world. He's
Thomas Davis is another one that's just absolutely flying all over the place. That they're making tackles everywhere. So look, that the front four that they've got there is still getting it done. And they didn't even have Kawan Short last night. So look, that's just you take those when you can get them.
Let me talk to you about continuity and offensive line and importance of the center. Who better to know than you and how critical it is, crucial that Max Unger come back as soon as he can?
Yeah, very critical. Look, the communication, and it's not that the younger guys can't get it done. They can, but they're just not going to be as comfortable in the same situation. So, look, he's been there for a while and has played at a very high level. And if you miss a guy like that in the middle, that's sort of directed traffic. That's not a good place to be. So yeah, we need him back desperately. So I'm hoping that, you know, the concussion that he has is short-lived, and he'll be back there Sunday.
They said he was evaluated. I was trying to figure out what the concussion protocol is. It's different, or it depends on the extent of the concussion, Steve?
I think it all depends. They obviously see if somebody is you know, showing those kind of neuro symptoms, and then I guess what they do is they sort of grade them from day to day, I guess, as they test them after they've, you know, they've already had a baseline established for each player, and then they sort of look back on that and say, okay, this is where you are now as compared to where your baseline, so we need to get you back, you know, to this percentage before, you know, we can get you back on the field, you know. I again, that's just my speculation of it.
Yeah, I know you're busy. Give me a quick scouting report on Pittsburgh, and we think it's likely to happen Sunday.
You know, looking at Pittsburgh, they still, the front four could still get after you, not like they used to, but they still have a pretty viable defensive front that's pretty stout, and can certainly play. At the same time, you look at them offensively, and they're getting it done. There's no question. They're offensively, what they're doing with the football, with Roethlisberger and Brown and you know, Antonio Brown and
Connor,
Smith-Schuster, and those other guys. I don't know if Connor's going to be back or not, but
okay.
Those guys can score some points. So, you know, look, it's going to be another heavyweight fight, just like this past week was. This time of the year, it gets down to, you know, look, Carolina was fighting for their lives last night, really, and they had sort of one last gasp at it, and we sort of took them out of it. Now they can still get in it, but they have to have some help with some other people. But look, that was a heavyweight fight last night, and like I said before, you get those, you take those when you can, and it's going to be the same way this week with Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate your time as always, and it's a pleasure. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. If we don't talk to you again,
same to you, Tommy. Have a nice day. Pleasure.
You too. All right. Good. Me too. 9:17. We can take a break here. We'll come back. More of your calls 260-1870. What would you say to somebody that has a problem with the Saints, or do you have a problem with them right now, considering they're 12-2? And they have one win left. That's all they need to do to lock up home field advantage throughout the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. And they currently have the best record in the NFL. No other team has a 12-2 record. So give me a call if you think there is a problem with the Saints or you're worried about them. Because, like Steve, the only thing concerns me is the offensive line and specifically Max Unger. 260-1870, back in a flash, WWL. 9:23, phone lines are jammed. We'll get to them in a second. Two texts come in, and I had asked about people meeting the Saints at General Aviation when they came in. One text says over 150 at 2 a.m. met the team. Another text said Scoot was live on Facebook at the airport last night when the Saints came back. So a lot of content waiting for you. Scoot's out and about a lot on WWL.com. Of course, 2 a.m. would be an hour before I wake up, so I missed that part. And it was a little bit of a late night. Mike Mid-City, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning. Hey, Mike.
Hey, well, yeah, Tommy.
How you?
I'm all right.
What's up?
Oh, man, this Anthony fella, man, he's back at it again, huh?
Who, Anthony?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's entertaining, though, Mike. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, me too, man, me too. But I have to agree, though, that, you know, it's December football weather, you know, I mean, you know, if you're a playoff team, you know, just the way it, you know, the way it come now, you know.
If you a chance, right? If you even have a chance.
Right. You know, and we upper echelon now. You know, if it's one thing I have to say about Drew Brees is, you know, and I'm not criticizing Drew Brees, but the cherry picking, I know you got plays called, you got designated receivers, but I'm like, you know, the first player come open, that's who you throw the ball to. All right? That's the only complaint that I have, you know, specifically with that Camaro, where Camaro was over there by the flag, by the pylon, something was open, and if Drew Brees pulled the trigger, on that pass right there, it's going to be the touchdown.
I know he goes through progressions, and I don't know how much time he had on that particular play, but
that's what I'm saying. Right, this is still right. You know, if you got a designated player, you know, I mean, you gonna pass on the first guy that come open, and sometimes it could backfire on you. You know what I mean?
Have you noticed? To me, it seems like the other team's been playing with 14, 15 people, because when you look at that shot from the camera that's, you know, suspended in the middle of the field, and you look at what Drew Brees is looking at, it seems like they got five guys on every receiver, and that can't be. But it seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I agree that I don't think, you know, Sean Payton had a lot to manage these last few games. You know, he got to worry about injuries.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, he got to worry about, you know, giving up in the secrets. You know what I mean? You know, and, you know, it's a big deal, you know, and to be able to escape with a win is huge.
It is.
And a lot of people need to appreciate, you know, the fact that, you know, hey, we got out there with a win, you know.
Mike, real quick.
One more win.
I got a lot of calls and we'll get to them. Do you think there's any way they do not beat the Steelers in the Dome on Sunday?
It's a must win. I think we got this here, Tommy. You know.
I just remember, Mike, how fired up everybody was and how crazy the crowd was. And I know that was years ago, but when they played Pittsburgh on that Halloween night game, it might have been 09. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, and my memory's not that good. But I think that I like their chances. Let's put it that way. Jack, Nashville, Tennessee. How you doing?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks again for taking my call.
Quite welcome.
I'll say this again. I think this is the greatest assembled New Orleans Saints team ever, even more than the 09. Now, the 09 offense was just that powerful. But, you know, people forget they lost three in a row, their final three regular season games. They started out 13-0, and then they lost three in a row, and everybody was in a panic attack mode. So,
but had they, Jack,
no,
at that?
I don't think there's.
At that time, had they had the home field advantage locked up? I don't remember.
In 09, they did. I think in 09, it was after the 13th win, they locked it up. It was a 14th, I'm not sure. But people were still in panic mode when we lost three in a row, regardless. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really think that we're going to take this win on Sunday. Because we're impossible to beat in the Dome. We are. That's been our problem all these years, even in the playoffs, is the Dome field advantage wasn't in our favor. We always had to go on the road. So, again, this is the greatest assembled Saints team ever, and I hope people better embrace it like I'm doing.
Well, thank you, Jack. I'm glad you called, and happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year there in Nashville. To Tony in Lacombe. Hey, Tony, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for talking to me.
I'm fantastic. How can you not be?
I know. I mean, right? I don't understand these people. I just got to say, great teams find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
The coach and players are constantly adjusting. Players are human. They have bad days. It's great that we're no longer a one-trick pony. We got a defense and an offense. In my opinion, the defense is the fuel. They give that ball to the offense, which is the fire. So we've got fuel and fire, and they're working well together.
And Thomas Morstead, when he punts that ball directionally, he would be the fire extinguisher for the other team.
That's right. You got a good point. And, I mean, these armchair quarterbacks that want 50-point wins is unreasonable. No team's been perfect. It's been a long time since a team has been perfect. I remember when we cheered when we made a first down, like we had won the Super Bowl. I mean, let's face it, people, we're getting spoiled. We're getting spoiled because we're winning. We expect them to be perfect, and they're not.
You know what?
Look.
I think it'd be interesting, Tony, to have somebody, and I'm not trying to get maudlin here or morbid or anything like that, but in 09, so many of us said we had relatives that we just wish had been alive to see it, right? It'd be so different to see somebody that maybe passed in 2007.
My father was one of them. I was one of those people.
To be here and hear people not being happy because they're 12-2 and they're one game away from locking up home field advantage. I think you're right. Maybe we get spoiled with success, huh?
I mean, we used to cheer all the time, and we would, you know, we barely won a game, and we'd be happy. We'd come out the dome, and we'd, you know, had a few beers. We went to a ball game. We were happy. But now it seems like, you know, well, if they win by 3 points, well, it's the end of the world.
All is about is that W. And I'll tell you what, at no point did I think Cam Newton was going to bring him back last night. I was worried about a turnover. We'll be back.
I'm David Blake, now back to Tommy Tucker, WWL, AMFM, and .com.
A kind of weird game last night.
Yeah.
Just when you thought something was going, something else changed it, you know what I mean?
I thought it was going to open up a little bit, and then mistakes and penalties.
Yeah.
And
for example, the return on the conversion attempt for a touchdown, Saints Carolina. Here we go. Let me play some of it.
And then rumble into the end zone. On the extra point is blocked. This is Anthony. He's all alone. This is worth points. Two of them for the Saints as they add to their lead. And that is the first one ever as the rule has been changed. Blocked by Kevin Williams, and Anthony took it the other way for 2 points.
Now, you're saying to yourself, that's not the right audio, right? You're saying, that wasn't last night.
No.
Believe it or not, the first NFL return of a failed conversion.
Yeah, that was an extra point. Yeah.
Happened, right. But that happened in 2015 with the Saints playing Carolina.
Wow.
Isn't that kind of odd?
That's kind of eerie. Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No, and I've tried to look at the other times it's happened in NFL history. It happened as well to the Saints in December of the next year when they were playing the Broncos.
Huh.
So it's odd. In one hand, the Saints benefited from it. The other hand, they didn't benefit from it. Last night, they didn't benefit from them. But it would seem odd that one team would be associated with that happening three times.
I think a lot of people, you know, and even myself, I was a little caught off guard because I thought it was a touchdown. And then I realized, no, I saw the score go up on the screen. And
it seemed like the announcers on TV and even some of the players on the field were wondering, can they do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to make this tackle? Is this like when somebody scoops up a ball and runs in the end zone after the play's dead? What do we do?
All right, heart was flopping all over the place.
Got to know the rules, I guess. Thomas and Kenner, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning. Hey, hello. Thomas, what do you say?
Hey, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Earlier you had said if we had a problem with the offense. I don't think we have a problem per se. I just was saying the receiving core, I feel like we really got to help Michael Thomas, and it's kind of strange to say, but I think we really needed Dez Bryant, you know?
Thomas, let me tell you something. I got to agree with you there. I really do. You can't always throw it to Michael Thomas, but if you look at, and I keep going back to this, if you look at what Drew Brees was looking at when that camera, you know, that's mounted in the middle of the field shows you the view from behind him. It seemed like they're playing with 15 people. I swear to goodness.
Exactly.
Like,
well, those younger guys look like they can't get separation like they did that other game, you know?
Right. So what do? But, you got to play with what you got.
Well, I mean, to fix it, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you keep trying to sign people. You hope Ted Ginn comes back. I mean, how sure are they about that?
Mm-hmm. You gotta,
I mean, that's all I'm saying. But,
you got to dance with who you brought.
Anything's wrong. Exactly. I don't think anything's wrong. I just think you put three guys on Michael Thomas, you high-low him, like they said last night, and now you got to make Kirkwood and Traquan Smith beat you. So, but I think we're fine. I think we'll still beat Pittsburgh. I think we'll have the Rams in the dome again. I think it'll be a beautiful time this year.
I gotta agree with you, Thomas. I think you're right about the receivers, too. Thank you, man. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year if we don't talk to you.
All right, you too, Tom.
All right. Who's next here? To Randy and Nola. Hey, Randy, good morning. You're in WWL.
Hey, Tommy, how you doing? Merry Christmas, buddy.
Same to you. I'm doing great. You?
I'm doing great. I just want to comment about Drew. I think Drew is fine, Tommy. If you look last night, he actually threw four or five passes that was not caught. You know, in other words, like the caller just said, I think our other receivers need to step up and play better ball.
I don't think you can blame a quarterback for an interception that happens off a deflection.
No, absolutely not. And another thing I wanted to say, I don't think we give enough props to Will Lutz. I mean, he is clutch.
Money,
Tommy.
Money.
He is money. I mean, we really, really got a valuable asset with Willie Lutz. Every time he steps on the field, he delivers.
Well, we're talking about that. We had Thomas Morstead on as a guest last week, and we were talking about directional punting. If you don't know what that means, you could see it last night clearly. He punts the ball deep, but he punts it to the sideline, and he places it right between the runner and the returner and the sideline, so yeah. There's nowhere to go. There's no return, but this is not any kind of shanked punt. This is a long, deep punt. So he doesn't get the credit he deserves either, I don't think.
No, he don't. But you can guarantee for 3 points every time Will steps on the field.
Money.
He's pretty much guaranteed.
He's money.
Points.
He's money,
he
Randy.
Is. Yes, he is, Tommy. But I just wanted to comment and give Will a little prop out there. But, Tommy, you have a nice day.
You too. Hey, real quick, Randy, you think they win on Sunday? Wrap it up?
Absolutely. Anything underneath the dome, we got it.
I think so, too. I think the crowd's going to be out of this world. Thank you, sir. 9:41, taking a break, coming back. One line open at 260-1870 if you'd like to grab it. I'm getting some disputed texts here, people disagreeing with each other about 09 and wrapping up home field, when did we do it, etc. At 09, this text says, we had an optimistic defense, but in 2018, we have a truly stingy defense. Defense wins games, offense entertains. Back in a flash, WWO. 9:47, 13 before 10, football and politics, my two favorite things. And it is interesting what's gone on in Arizona, or at least what's gone on. So John McCain passes away, and a Republican governor appoints Kyle, a guy named Kyle, to take his place. I think it's John Kyle, but I'm not sure. So there's an election in November, wherein Martha McSally, a Republican, runs against a Democrat, and a Democrat wins. Well, now Senator Kyle resigns, and the governor appoints Martha McSally, the lady who had lost the election to the Democrat, to take his place. And you got to believe in this case, had Martha McSally won, I don't think Kyle would have retired. I guess if he did, they could have appointed a Republican either way. But in this case, she lost the election in November, but in January, she'll still be a senator. Just interesting, some of the maneuverings that go on. Fred Nola, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Thank
I'm
you
all right, Fred,
for taking my call.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for calling. What's up?
All right. I just wanted to comment about what you was asking about, what's wrong with the Saints. Well, me, myself, I've been a diehard Saints fan. I was born in 1972. I don't see pretty much nothing wrong with the Saints right now at this point. What I see is a defensive strategy. If people think we're going to score 40 points every week, then they got to wake up.
Yep.
This is for real football.
Yep.
It's down and grounding to the pounding. So all we got to do is just stay stout with our defense. We had one of the best defenses that we've ever had in history, besides back then with our Dome Patrol. But otherwise, I think we just fine. We're not going to see 40 points every week, people. All we're going to see is what we're going to get. And I think the lower, the better. Defense going to win these games for us, and that's the best way to get it.
I agree with you. Let me tell you a couple of things. Last night, it seemed as though when I went to bed that, boy, the Saints threw the ball a lot more than they ran it. They did not. They were pretty much in balance with 32 rushing attempts, 35 passing. It's never going to be exactly even, but you understand what I'm saying? In terms
exactly
of time of possession,
balance.
That last drive was a killer, but in terms of time of possession, they won a time of possession 35-24. So a lot of times until you look at the stats the next day, you think it's one way, you know what I mean, Fred? And then when you look at it, it's like, well, no, that's not what happened at all. And I think
exactly. If
you watch a game, thank you. I'm glad you called. Did I call you Fred?
Thank you very much.
You are Fred, right? Yeah, I thought so. Okay, thank you, sir. Have a good Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I always like to watch a game, if I can record it, a second time. Because when you watch it the second time, it is completely different. You're watching it the first time, and you're into the emotion of it, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. But when you watch it the second time, you're looking at it completely differently because you know how it's going to end. You just want to see how it happened. Back in a flash, if you're on hold, hang on. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 9:56, 4 before 10. Let me squeeze in another call about the Saints here, and then we'll talk to Newell Norman. Hey, Mary, how you doing? Good morning. You're on WWL. Hey, Mary. Mary.
Not Mary.
Well, go ahead. Hey.
I'm not Mary. I'm Liz.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
we had a little mishap, but Joey's done a tremendous job in there working by himself. Tell me, Liz, what's going on?
Who that, baby?
I hear you.
Everybody needs to just relax. We went from bags to Lombardi Trophy. Come on. Okay? So we're going to go get the Lombardi Trophy on the Atlanta Falcon territory on that little field. And then, let me tell you something, Tommy. Daddy died in 2010.
I'm sorry.
And no, that's all right. You know, he lived a good life. And we went to the Super Bowl that year, baby. And my mother passed away 7 months ago. We gone to the Super Bowl.
Again, I'm sorry about your loss, Liz, and I hope you're right.
We going back, baby. We the who that, baby. We are the best. Breeze is awesome. These callers need to relax. Who that, baby? Love you, Tommy.
Thank you, Mary. Liz, I'm sorry. And we have to try to get her in the middle of the huddle, Newell, instead of Drew Breeze this week. Let her give that chant. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Drew Brees is going to sound like, okay, guys, you know I usually like to fire you up at this point. Here's a friend of mine I've been wanting to have in a huddle for a long time. Welcome, if you will, Liz from Mandeville. And then she comes in and gives a talk.
And gives the pep talk.
Did you have any fun at all watching the game last night?
I have no fingernails left. To the 78% that said it was going to be a nail biter on our poll yesterday, they were absolutely correct. It was a tough game.
Do you sit in a chair and do all of these things where you twist this way and you twist that way? Don't get him if you could just.
I get up. I walk around. I'm trying not to yell at the TV.
Right.
We watched it with a bunch of couples last night and had a great time. Ate some good food and drank some great wine and saw a great win, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's something to winning ugly. You have to win ugly. And I think it helps build character when not everybody's hitting, you know, on all cylinders, and other parts of the team step up and bring it to fruition, bring it to a victory.
I liked it in a way, because if I had just been watching two teams I didn't care about, I love that hard hitting, ugly, smash in the mouth, maybe a couple of after the play fights kind of game. But again, not if it's the Saints. I'd prefer a 40-0 lead, but it's not going to happen every time. What's coming up today with Newell?
I know one thing. There are two players on that Carolina team I'll take, the linebacker and the running back.
Keekly and McCaffrey.
Any day of the week. They played incredible football.
He's also a dirty player.
Yesterday. We're going to be talking to Kristen Palmer, city council member, about the big changes on short-term rentals, Airbnb. Talk to Mike Dettillier about the game in the second hour. And in the first hour, talk to an expert on how much of this Trump tax cut is actually transferring into budget revenue increases for a number of states across the country.
All right. Sounds interesting as always. Newell Norman next. Thank you all for listening and for calling. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.